Chinook. It's a warm wind.
It's a changing wind.
Chinook, a program for and about Alaskan natives.
Chinook Echoes is looking back into native heritage,
how things are and how they got that way.
Chinook Patterns is information.
Issues that affect the patterns of Alaskan life.
Chinook Profiles, portraits of people, places, events.
But mostly the people who are Alaskan.
This is Chinook Patterns. I'm Paula Schiller, and today we'll hear about one solution to a problem caused by the Native Claims Settlement Act. The Act set up 12 regional corporations and over 220 village corporations, not to mention the nonprofit corporations. With all those corporations, there is a demand for skilled people to run them, and that demand right now is larger than supply. The problem has been solved in the Doyon region by the Interior Villages Association. It's working here, and its president, Sam Dementiff, says it's a model that could work in just about any other region.
The village corporations are knew that the Doyon region, the regional corporation, would be able to pick up all the experienced Native people or educated Native people to run their corporation. It's not so the same idea in the village corporations. They have a more limited number of people to pick their board members from or their managers to run their corporations, and therefore I knew that they needed certain services to run their corporations as a viable profit corporation. With this in mind, the village corporation presidents got together in a meeting with the regional corporation Doyon at one of their board meetings and asked Doyon if they could Doyon could help them in with their village corporations. Doyon had responded that they are similar corporations to them in the business to make money and could not exactly make money by helping the village corporations, and it led them to a self-determination effort on their part.
The villages?
Yes, the villages. And well, at this time it was the village corporation presidents at the meeting. They said, okay, what we'll have to do then in order to fulfill our need is to form an association of professional people to answer the need that we have, and that is the need for land management, business consultant services, stock register and maintenance, and bookkeeping and legal services.
And as a result, you now do have a professional staff?
Yes. Right. At today, IBA is approximately 3.5 years old, and we contract with each village corporation, and they come approach us and say, well, we need these services, and they identify the ones that we have to offer. They say, well, they sit down at a meeting with us and say, we need legal services and land services, if mm-hmm. they just need those two services, and then they pay for it through a contract. Now, if they went out and got these same services on the open market, they'd pay the running premium prices for the professional people. But with IVA, there is a reduced cost to them. In other words, they get a certain percentage off the market price for the services.
What are some of the specific services? Say they needed help with lands now. What kind of help would you need?
Okay, right now, the village corporations and all of the Doyon region have not received title to their lands. They do not know exactly, or have books or maps, I should say, plats on their over selections, under selections, or their any of their corporation land at all. But in contracting with us, our landsman is a professional person that can sit down with the village corporation, go to BLM, find out the over and under selections and the corporate boundaries, identify the municipalities, all the native allotments located on the corporation land, and get that book of maps and information to the village corporation so they could have it in hand. There's And the main thing behind land services would be the preparing of the village corporation for the eventual ownership of their corporation land and how to manage it.
Now they do things like study how the land could be used or some of the resources on the land and things like that?
Yeah, identify an inventory of the natural resources located on the land, but primarily to try to speed up the conveyance of the land.
And then management services would be, or business help would be what would you be looking for there?
The village corporations, in order to answer a deadline in the future, a real turning point, a crucial turning point in their future, would be the year 1991, which is 13 years away. The village corporations are in the position of trying to make a profit or a dividend for each one of their stockholders to keep them interested or in the corporation. Now, in order to do that, they have to get involved in some type of business. Now, they usually identify something that would benefit the village corporation stockholders in the village. In other words, they want a business that's located in the village that can employ the stockholders.
And keep
also
the money in the village.
And also to keep the money in the village, yes. So with our management person meets with the village corporation, if we have a contract with them, and talks to them and say, well, get the direction from them first. If they want to just invest the money in money investments in the banks or wherever they might lie, then he tries to pursue those lines and get the most efficient return for their money investments. Now, if the corporation identifies that they want to go into some kind of business, he pursues a feasibility study and studies that business to make sure that it will make money for that village corporation.
And another category of help here is stock registration and maintenance. Now,
yes.
That's a bookkeeping job, isn't it?
Well, it's there's two phases that the stock registration and issuance could be. We let to one of the gals in the office here. She just takes care of the. There's 27 contracting villages now that contract for services with IVA. There are 31 village corporations in the whole interior or the Doron region. So each one of them have they have the responsibility to issue stocks to each one of the stockholders in each village. So they in turn don't really know or are not geared up to maintaining the stock and put into a register system where they can draw on it at any time at the convenience. We do have in IVA, a computer system that we use to store the information on the stock for all of the member or contracting village corporations. And there's all the village corporation, and if they contract with us, all they have to do is send us the information to keep the updated records on the stock. For instance, if someone dies, they send us the information. We see that the transactions of willing the stock to a relative or whatever it is take place. The bookkeeping part is pretty much the same or within the same area as the stock register system, but is different that it could include a bookkeeping system for a business venture that village corporation might go into.
Well, besides the village's own books, they might keep books for a business.
Yeah. Now our bookkeeping person within IVA can sit down with the village corporation and set up a complete bookkeeping system for a business that they get into, along with the business of the village corporation bookkeeping.
You said that 27... of the villages have some kind of contract, one kind of another, with IVA.
Yes. Originally there were 34 village corporations. The reason why there isn't that many now is because some of the villages have merged together or consolidated. In one instance, four villages consolidated their monies and lands, thereby dissolving their original corporation name and identity of the lands and money, and now it is another corporation, another larger village corporation.
Now, are those now consolidated regions members or contracting for IVA services?
Well, when they get that large, Paul, they have enough money and enough people with experience and education to help themselves. But we do have certain services we do provide for them. They come up to IBA and say, "Well, we do need help in this, and could you? We want a contract for these services."
Yeah, I was thinking. One of the things that IVA might offer to a village is how to advise them how to consolidate, and therefore you'd be helping them put you out of business.
that's the, believe it or not, but this is the whole idea behind IVA. The prime goal is to get those member villages up to a point where they can operate efficiently and make a profit, and they would not have to contract for any services.
So maybe
that's the main goal behind IBA. This is what was in the minds of the village corporation presidents when they formed this association. So actually we're supposed to, I guess, yeah, we are in the business to work ourselves out of business.
Sam Dementiff, president of the Interior Villages Association. So far, it's the only one of its kind. There are other programs which attempt to solve some of the same problems and provide some of the same services. IVA is just one way of doing it. This has been Chinook Patterns. I'm Paula Schiller, and Chinook is a production of KUAC-FM at the University of Alaska in Fairbanks.
Chinook, it's a warm wind.
It's a changing wind.
Chinook, a program for and about Alaska Natives.
Chinook Echoes is looking back into Native heritage.
How things are and how they got that way.
Chinook Patterns is information.
Issues that affect the patterns of Alaskan life.
Chinook Profiles, portraits of people, places, events.
But mostly the people who are Alaskan.
Welcome to Chinook Echoes. I'm Paula Schiller, and this is the voice of Amphisia Shapsnikov, an Aleut, talking about storytelling.
That was a tradition of the Aleut that got together and told stories to the young generation. And a lot of the stories that I remember from the people of a long time ago.
Do people still gather together and tell old stories?
Not after the war. That's the war has, the Second World War has destroyed many things that the Aleuts don't have their culture, so their, even their language now in Alaska.
Mrs. Shapsnikov is no longer living. She was 72 when Karen McPherson recorded her for the Alaska Native Oral Literature Project. Listen now to Mrs. Shapsnikov telling the sparrow story, first in Aleut, then in English. And if you don't happen to understand Aleut, please don't be impatient. Listen to how the language itself sounds. It'll probably grow on you.
I'm a little bit of a Once upon a time there was a sparrow that went and lived in. It was told from this woman that this sparrow was able to talk and explain things, and because it flies all around and knows everything, and it was good to make friends with him. There was a woman and a daughter and a husband. Then every now and then, where the husband would go out and fish and go out hunting and things like that. And then there was another woman that lived up toward the hill under a cliff. As time went by away, she noticed that her husband would leave in an unusual time, but would go into that direction, and she would wonder now and then and let it go at that. Then in the morning, while she was doing up her chores, while her daughter went out, she was outside of the barabra, and then she come running in, and she said, Mother, I heard a sparrow talking, and it was saying something, and I didn't quite understand, and maybe you could. What will the sparrow say anyways? He says, they don't say or do anything. But this one did, Mother. This sparrow did. It was telling us something to know, something he wanted to say. So, sparrows won't talk, and I don't understand it. So she went off and went back out and was playing around, and finally that sparrow came back again. It started chirping out way louder than ever. So she ran inside and said, come, Mother, and listen to this sparrow. It's talking again. So the mother went out and was talking, and it said it was telling about seeing this man up in the head of the went to see this woman in the head of the bay under a cliff. And then it, as soon as it said that, it flipped its wings and flew away. Then she went out about her work and finished. Then she went and fixed herself up, put her mukluks on, took her walking stick, and then she went off to this woman that lived under the cliff. And got there, and this woman was looking out, and she stood there looking out, and then seemed like she'd seen an object out in the bay there, but she didn't pay attention to it. And this woman called him in. Why don't you come in and join me? I have a real nice pot of stew that we could eat together. No, I didn't come to eat. I came here to go and see if my husband would be coming ashore. He says, no, that's not a boat. That's just a reef where the mussels grow, that every time there's a low tide, where it all's shore. It's not a boat. Come on in and join me. No, I don't think I want any. I want to watch for my husband. Yeah, I think it is a boat. No, it's not. I told you that it's not, because that reef's been out there for a long time. But she said, come on in and join me and have this nice pot of stew that I have. So she come in and looked in the stew pot, and it was a nice stew, and it was hot boiling. And she pretended that she was tasting it, and then she lifted up her head out of it, and then she said, how do you eat this anyways? And the lady went and said, I always go like this and eat it. She picked up her spoon and stuck her head over the pot and started eating, and she took her head and pushed it and held it down inside of the stew and scorched her all up to death. Then she took this woman and went out and stood her in the place where the landing gear of the Baidarki was and faced towards the beach so that it would look like that she was sitting there. Then she went and hid away. At that time she recognized that was her husband coming. So she hid away, and then he come in. She heard his voice and saying, oh, so you're always up there waiting for me. And so I tried to hurry, but the tide wasn't right, so I didn't get to come. And he pulled his boat up and come a running and put his arms around her, and the body was dead. And so when he put the arms around it, it fell over and he fell on top of it. He realized that she was dead, and so he turned around to go back to his boat, and then by that time, by his wife, got out of the hiding place. So this is what you had been doing. He says, the sparrow had to tell me about it, and so I come a looking for you. Now I will go and kill you, because you said that you was dead and I buried you, but you was going to live with this woman, but I didn't give you a chance. So he took him and threw him in a bay and drowned him. Then she turned around and went home. And she died of worrying and thinking of her husband. And this was all told by that sparrow, and the little girl went and told her mother.
Amphisia Shapsnikov, telling the sparrow story for Karen McPherson of the Alaska Native Oral Literature Project. You've been listening to Chinook Echoes. I'm Paula Schiller. And Chinook is a production of KUAC-FM at the University of Alaska in Fairbanks.